Hey, welcome to the Easter podcast from Lawson Heights Alliance Church. This is April 4th, 2021. This Sunday, we are going to be looking at the message, Giving Up Your Grave Clothes. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus. May God bless you as you listen. When my kids were really little, Amy was like 4 years old, and I thought I would see how much she had been learning in Kid Zone. So I asked her to tell me the Easter story. I put her on my lap and asked, Amy, why do we celebrate Easter? Without hesitating, she said, Jesus was crucified, and after he died, his body was put into a grave, and then they rolled this big stone in front of the entrance. And then a bunch of bad soldiers, they guarded his tomb. And on the third day, there was this big earthquake, and the stone was rolled away. Well, as you can imagine, as a dad, I'm pleasantly pleased by how much she seemed to know. But then she continued, and when the earthquake happened, the whole town came out to see, and if Jesus came out and saw his shadow, they knew there would be 6 more weeks of winter. Well, at least she got part of the story right. Here's a true story for you. A few years ago, 2 journalism students came to the church to shoot a video interview with me, and they asked me the question, do you think people today understand what Easter is all about? Great question, I said. See, I think he was kind of feeling like people today didn't understand what Easter was all about. And you know what? In some ways, I think I'd have to agree with him. I explained to the journalism student that I grew up in an irreligious home and didn't understand anything about Easter either until I was about 17 years of age. Growing up, Easter was a basket of Easter candy, a chocolate bunny, and a small present, and then later on in the day, getting a little bit dressed up more than normal and going on a trip to Grandma's house for Easter dinner with the rest of the clan. But church was not in that mix. But when I became a Christian at 17, I remember my first Easter after that, getting all dressed up in my Sunday best, because that's what I thought was expected. And when I got to church, I remember seeing other people all dressed up, a few Easter hats and some of the older ladies, and then the Easter message from the preacher. That always stuck out to me. After that, I would never have missed another Easter with the rest of the church. Easter and Good Friday were just too important of holy days to miss them ever after that. But the question that journalism student asked, do you think people today understand what Easter is all about? Can that question be answered by what people wear on an Easter Sunday or how many people fill a pew? Maybe in part. Let's read the Gospel of Luke and let's allow it to help us get the importance, the real importance of this day that we call Easter. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 44 to 56. All right, are you there? It goes like this. It was now noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. The curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my Spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, Surely this was a righteous man. And when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin, and the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. You know, all four Gospels, in all four Gospels, the writers present elaborate details about Jesus' death and burial in order to demonstrate that Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah, was truly dead. And it's important to note that this was a difficult and even embarrassing moment for the followers of Jesus. Let's reread verse 48 to 49. When all the people who had gathered to witness this saw this sight, saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. And all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. That cross up there, that was where their Messiah was. They had anchored their lives on his teaching. They left everything to follow him. They thought he was going to usurp the Roman occupation and establish the kingdom of God on earth. But now, he's dead. Mark's gospel gives us some insight into what people were thinking seeing Jesus die. It says in Mark 15, verse 37 to 41, it says, "With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.' Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there." What would you be thinking and feeling right then? If you'll remember, it was just like yesterday from their perspective that they had all scattered. Then the guards came and they arrested Jesus. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. In John's gospel, we read that the only ones at the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and John. Everyone else was watching at a distance, it says. Only after the deed was done did some of them come out of hiding. And look at John 19, verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, notice that, secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. And Pilate gave him that permission. And he and Nicodemus, following Jewish burial customs, took the body down from the cross, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in the tomb. Today, if a loved one dies, we go to their closet, we pick their best suit or dress, and we let a mortician get them dressed and ready for us. We go to this coat rack, for instance, and for some people it would be their ordinary, everyday dress clothes, but for most, it would be their Sunday best, or clothes that they'd wear to a wedding or a funeral. But this linen sheet, not this suit, became his grave clothes. This linen sheet was typical burial attire for the day, not his everyday clothes. Some who reject the Christian faith have challenged the historical biblical events and facts that Jesus actually died that day. They say he merely looked dead. There's one theory out there called the swoon theory, that he just swooned, he wasn't really dead. Or that his disciples or Joseph somehow revived him after the cross. But listen, would all of these preparations for his burial have been necessary if Jesus had not really died? Would his followers really have gone to that work? Most crucifixion victims needed to have their legs broken in order to speed their dying, but because Jesus was so obviously dead already, they didn't have to do that. Jesus was verified by a professional executioner as dead when they took a spear and pierced his heart, draining it of all its blood. There was no question. Jesus, the Messiah, was dead. And then to prevent any attempt of the followers of Jesus from stealing the body of their dead Messiah, Pilate had the tomb sealed and Roman guards stationed at the tomb at the request of the Pharisees. So the Christian faith, friends, is anchored on the undeniable, validated fact that Jesus really died. But you got to ask, why did he die? I mean, he was a young man. He was healthy. He could have avoided being arrested. He didn't have to die. but he did choose to die on that particular day and under those exact conditions. And this wasn't just his choice. This was the plan for Jesus before Jesus was even born in Bethlehem. And look whose plan this was. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 6. This is a prophecy of Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus ever came on the scene. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Notice this. This is who? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus' death was to be the means by which sinful, rebellious humanity could be reconciled, brought back to God. So as the prophet Isaiah explains, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. This was part of the Father's plan. And it was our sin that separated us from God. And so sin brings death. And you may have felt alive at some point, walking around in terra firma in those grave clothes. But you are separated from God. You're essentially dead to God. And so sinfulness was the way in which we were really living back in the day. There's a few points that I want to make about Jesus' death and resurrection here today. And the first one goes like this. The solution for our dead living is the death of Christ. The solution for our dead living is the death of Christ. Turn to me with me to Romans chapter 5. Verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul reinforces this by saying, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." See, this is how it works for us today. If you're separated from God, it's like you're walking around in grave clothes all day. Grave clothes. The things that dead people are buried in. They reek of dead things. Sinful things. Things that separate people from God. Things like pride and jealousy. Things like lust and sexual immorality, greed and selfishness, lies and unbelief. Some of us hate these clothes. We feel ugly in them. They make us feel dead inside. And so when we heard the invitation to exchange these grave clothes for true life in God, we eagerly tossed them aside and accepted the free gift from God. But some people think they look pretty good in these grave clothes. I mean, look, toga, eh? Some people think they look pretty good in grave clothes, and they wear them as a badge of honor. No matter how well you may wear them, you're never really alive. You're still dead to God. And that means that you're separated from him for eternity. No matter how good they make you look to other people, you're still dead to God. So we needed a remedy, didn't we? We needed a solution to our deadness, and the death of Jesus was it. Well, in part. While the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary is an important part of our faith, for sure, and we should acknowledge it often, not just annually, but for sure, more than just Good Friday. But understand that the death of Jesus is only effective to free us from our sins
and bring us back to God if Jesus did not stay dead. Does that make sense? Jesus had to rise from the dead, or both his death, his life, and us are still bound up in sin, in the grave clothes that we're wearing. See, while Jesus' death allows us to be sons of God, that is a complete experience for God's people only when they shed the grave clothes. To completely experience the identity of new life and eternal life in Christ, you have to get rid of the grave clothes. See, what good is a dead Savior to us if he's dead? The death of Jesus, number two, requires, the death of Jesus requires a resurrection, or it means nothing at all. How does that hit you? The death of Jesus requires his resurrection, or it means nothing at all. Well, listen to it from Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. I'm taking this from the New Living Translation. I just love how it reads. It says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are still lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be pitied more than anyone in the world. See, if I promise to buy you a whole new suit of clothes, that promise is only good if I'm still living to grant it, right? That's the same as true for us and Jesus. The death of Jesus was to pay for the penalty of your sins and mine. But it's because of the resurrection that you and I finally get to be free of the effects of sin and death forever. Amen? Let's read the rest of the narrative from the Gospel of Luke. Let's turn back there. Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. If you look down later in verse 10, it reminds you who's there. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. And the Gospel of Mark includes Salome. It says in verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day and rise and be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense to them. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying beside themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, before you think to yourself, how dull can Peter be? Without the resurrection, you and I are still in our grave clothes, right? We're still in our grave clothes without the resurrection. So the death and the resurrection of Jesus are bound together in order to make you truly alive and free from sin. And that's when the lights come on for us. That means that Good Friday can never, ever be independent from Easter. Good Friday is like the drum roll to the narrative of human history where God announces to a whole world that death is conquered and eternal life is now possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But something is still missing. Something is still missing. Luke 24, verses 10 to 12. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying beside themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. See, it says it seemed like nonsense to them that Jesus, when they saw Jesus, how Jesus died. It seemed like nonsense because they saw how brutally he died, the death he died. He wasn't just dead. He was dead, dead, stabbed through the heart, bled out dead. There's no reviving from that. So what was Peter thinking? He ran to the tomb expecting to see Jesus, but all he sees are these grave clothes still, lying there on the ground. Verse 12, he went away wondering to himself what had happened. John's gospel adds in John 20, verse 9, it says, they still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. He runs to this empty tomb. But because he knew Jesus was dead, something in his head didn't compute. Something in his head didn't connect the death of Jesus with the resurrection of Jesus. Here's our third point for this morning. Accepting the resurrection demands that you give up your grave clothes. Finally. Totally. John 20, verse 9, they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. In the 3 years that they were together, 3.5 years, Jesus showed them from their own scriptures repeatedly where it said that he would be handed over to sinners and he would rise again on the third day. He told them that many times. He told that to them just before he was to die. And even though they had heard it repeatedly, for some reason, friends, they had a hard time understanding what he meant. Because crucified people don't rise. Maybe a Lazarus, you know, who's a little sick and dies as a result of it. Maybe those kinds of things can happen. But a flogged, pierced through the heart kind of a death? Crucified people do not come back to life. That's what's in their heads. But now that it's happened, exactly how Jesus described it, and after they had been reminded that this is what was going to happen, now they're having a hard time accepting it. Remember the question that the journalism student asked me? He said, you know, do you think people today understand what Easter is all about? In some way, I kind of had to say, yeah, I think that there's a lot of people who don't understand what Easter is all about. It didn't make sense to him or to me. And you know, this is why. Because people today don't understand what Jesus is all about, because to them, Easter is about a dead Savior. Sure, people in our world today, in Canada at least, they grow up in a culture where there is this myth out there that Jesus died and rose again. But our scientific, modern minds, our skeptical minds, know that dead people stay dead. Crucified people, someone who's had a hole punched in their hearts with a spear, that poor sap ain't coming back. But then there's the audacious claim out there that Jesus did. Jesus left those grave clothes behind and he walked out of that tomb alive. He didn't just walk out. He walked out in victory. He walked out in absolute victory and glory, leaving those grave clothes behind. But you know, That's been Christianity's claim ever since, for the last 2,000 years. And there are people who still have a hard time accepting it. And do you know why? Because according to our faith, Christianity, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, takes faith to believe it. It takes faith. But today, faith to the skeptical person is an inconsistency. It takes faith, but many people today just won't get Easter, not because they can't, but because they won't believe what they've been told about Jesus and the resurrection. And to that, they would much prefer to wear the grave clothes that they're still wearing, the ones that reek like jealousy and pride and lust and sexual immorality and greed and selfishness and lies and unbelief. They'd rather be wearing that. It's liking those grave clothes that makes it hard for them, not impossible, but hard for them to believe. All of us know how comfortable those grave clothes were at one time to us. It's all we ever wore. But just pause for a moment. Wake yourself up for a moment and realize that your pride, your jealousy, your lust, your sexual immorality, your greed, your selfishness, your lies, your unbelief are keeping you dead to God. I get that that's all you might have ever known. I was there once too. I know the feeling that if you could just give up those grave clothes, well, then you'd just be naked. And then what? Which is better? Being clothed and dead or naked and alive? I know the feeling of what it was like to be dead, to be liking those grave clothes, to wearing them as a badge of honor. But in order to have eternal life, in order to be alive in Christ, you need to give up the grave clothes and you have to accept Christ by faith. For many people, all they associate Easter with is a cross, is the death of Jesus. And they get hung up on a dead Savior. And for good reason, because a dead Savior can't save you, but a living one can, right? A living Savior can save you. Jesus left those grave clothes behind and he walked out of that grave alive. He is risen. And that's what makes Easter, Easter. So, this is not about making anyone feel guilty because we all come from the same cloth. It's all about liberating you from your sin-soaked grave clothes so that you can truly be alive for once in your life, by accepting the death and the resurrection of Jesus. He won't leave you naked and ashamed. He'll clothe you, the Bible tells us, in his divine life and in his own righteousness. He'll make you into a brand new person, alive to God. And who doesn't want that? And that's what makes Easter, Easter. By faith, give up those grave clothes, trust Jesus, and he'll make you eternally alive with God. And that's why when the church announces, as it has announced for the last 2,000 years, he is risen, people respond with,
he is risen indeed.
In order to celebrate the victory of Jesus on this Easter Sunday, many of you have already given up your grave clothes. You've walked out of that tomb with Christ and you are alive with Christ forevermore. Praise be to God. But I want to kind of address the people today who I once was like, and all of you were like at one time too, who are walking around in those grave clothes. And you're worried that if you give up the life that you're living in order to follow Jesus, that you're going to be naked and ashamed. Understand that Jesus won't leave you naked and ashamed. He will clothe you with life and his own righteousness. You will never be as alive as you can be with Jesus. And so I'm going to offer you a way to leave your grave clothes behind. And it's as simple as praying a prayer. And if you have never prayed this prayer before, I encourage you to do that. There's nothing mystical about the prayer. There's nothing mechanically intrinsic with the prayer that makes you a believer. It is you giving up your grave clothes. It's you giving up your life for Jesus that makes the difference. So why don't we all bow right now, and I want you to pray. And for those of you who have already given up your grave clothes and you are alive with Christ and Easter is everything to you, I want you to pray for those who you know, who may be watching today online. Maybe those who might be attending another church service, but you know that they have never given up their grave clothes and they're walking around in sin. And as a result, they're separated from God, not just temporarily, but eternally. And you want them to come to faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Good Friday. Thank you that through the death of Christ, the price of our sin was paid for. And Lord, I know that there are people in this room who have given up their grave clothes now to follow Jesus in resurrection power. And today, Lord, we just say thank you, hallelujah, praise Jesus. But Lord, there's some other people here today and online, friends who are worried about giving up everything to follow Jesus. Would you just affirm to their heart right now? Maybe, I don't know how you do that. You do it in different ways. Sometimes they feel a warmth coming over them. Sometimes it's a shiver. Sometimes it's just a knowledge that you're working in their life, that you're present with them right now in this moment. And help them to know that you will never leave them naked and ashamed. That no matter what they're wrestling with, they will be able to find life in Christ. Help them to know that there is no sin that is too dark that you can't forgive. And so, friend, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have never ditched the grave clothes for the living Jesus, why don't you do that right now? Just tell Jesus, Lord, I give up my old life, and I choose today to follow you. We all remember what that day was like. We remember not knowing exactly what to do next, but appreciate, friends, that God will lead you from this day forward in his resurrection power. And he will help you to experience life anew. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time together as your people around your word celebrating the resurrection. And we pray, Lord, that today, as a result of what we have learned from your word, will reinvigorate all of us, that we will never, ever again take the death and the resurrection of Jesus lightly. So, Father, build into our lives today, as a result of your word, a faith in Jesus that can never, ever be compromised or lost. Help us to follow you every step of the way. We love you, Lord. And we are so grateful for all that you've done for us in the cross, in the tomb, and walking out of that tomb. For we as a people declare, you are risen.